Y'all bear with me. My throat is hurting a little bit this morning. I was telling Clay back there, I'm thankful I only have about 2 hours to preach instead of, the full time. I'm just kidding. Definitely won't be 2 hours. But I'm always thankful any time that I get to share God's word. But this is definitely a very humbling experience for me. I've been in the military for 9.5 years now, working on my 10th year. Hopefully my final year. But in all that time, I've never spoke to my church family, any church family that I've been a part of, about my military service. And for the almost 3 years that I've been here, I don't think I've ever really talked about it. The youth have heard a little bit of my story, but as far as to the rest of the church family, I've never really talked about it. So I'm very humbled to be able to share that with you all today. But first, I just want to read a passage of scripture. So if you would just turn with me, if you have your copy of God's word, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be in chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at the first 12 verses. So what I want to do right now is I just want to read through those verses, and then we're going to break them down in just a little bit. So if you would just read along with me. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry because we were shown mercy, we do not give up. Instead, we have renounced secret and shameful things, not acting deceitfully or distorting the word of God, but commending ourselves before God to everyone's conscience by an open display of the truth. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, for we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. For we always carry the death of Jesus in our body, so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may also be displayed in our mortal flesh. So then, death is at work in us, but life in you." Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time where we can study your word. And God, we just pray that you will be our preacher, our teacher, God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will, God, just teach us and work in our hearts and our minds to understand the truths of your word. And Father, I pray that you will grow us and mold us into be more like your son, Jesus. And we ask this prayer in his name. Amen. So for me, serving in the military, like any little boy, I grew up just fascinated by anyone in the military. I was taught from a young age to have a great respect for those who have served and those who are serving. As a little kid, I always played Army. I remember me and my friend Dylan, we would always go into his, he had woods in his backyard. So we'd go into the woods, and our playing Army consisted of hiding in bushes, and when someone jumped out, we would jump out with our BB guns and shoot them. I still have some scars from that, okay? So kids, don't do that, okay? That's not good. But I always just loved the military. And growing up, like any little boy, I want to be a soldier. I want to be an Army man. But in my friend group, I remember Ryan Drew, Dylan Howard. Those are some of my best friends to this day. And I remember growing up, they always wanted to be in the military. They wanted to be Marines. And so they always talked about, I'm going to join the Marines. I'm going to do it. And every once in a while, I'd be like, that'd be really cool. I want to be a Marine. Or, I want to be in the Navy. Or I want to fly jet planes, you know. But for them, even moving up in middle school and high school, it was always, what are you going to do after high school? I'm joining the Marines. I'm going to be in the military. For me, that wasn't the case. Where there was always that little bit of, that'd be cool. I had a different plan, right? I knew God wanted me to be in the ministry. I wanted to be a youth pastor. I had already decided, I want to go to Fruitland after I graduate high school, and then I want to be a youth pastor. That was my plan. Didn't really have a desire to be in the military. So when I graduated high school from Chowder's Rest High School, went straight to Fruitland in 2007, 17-year-old kid, one of the youngest to ever start at Fruitland, graduated in 2009, and then went on to North Greenville in 2010 to just continue on my education. Still military, no thought crossed my mind. But all those buddies of mine said, what are you going to do after high school? Join the Marines, join the Marines. None of them did. Ryan had a heart condition that he didn't know about. So he went through the process, they caught it, couldn't serve. My buddy Dylan, he got out of high school, started working as a welder. Now he's with the railroad. So just never did it, never joined. And here I was, 2010. I'm a junior at North Greenville, continuing on with my plan to serve God in the ministry, to be a youth pastor. But I'm sitting in an algebra class, and I hate math. I absolutely hate it. Now, I didn't know at the time that that was the only math class that I had to take. And I think God used that in a way, because I sat through that math class. I struggled. I studied. I fell asleep in that class. Okay, don't do that either. But it was just tough. And I ended up passing it. But halfway through in that class, I remember one day I was like, you know what? This isn't ministry. This is algebra. I want to do something where I'm serving God. I'll be a chaplain assistant. So I literally left that class, went down to the recruiting office, and I went into the Navy office first. So I was like, they have something called a religious petty officer where they are in charge of making sure the Navy guys there have all the religious services they need. Took some tests. They're like, you got a pretty good score. We want you to be a nuclear technician. I said, no, it sounds like math is involved. I'm out. I want to be a religious petty officer. They said, we kind of picked the job that you're best qualified for, so you have to be open-minded. I said, I'll be very open-minded. I went to the Army office. And I walked in there, went to the recruiter, said, I want to be a chaplain's assistant. Can you help me out? So did all the tests and everything. And they said, you could really have any job that you want, but let me go talk to my boss. So this captain came out and he said, would you join my Army if we got you a slot as a chaplain assistant? I said, absolutely, I'll sign today. So they said, we don't have one right now, but we'll keep you in mind. So 3 months later, I got a call. And this is right around the time that I'm finishing up school at North Greenville. They said, we have a spot. Are you still interested? I said, yes. So I went down to Fort Jackson in Columbia and signed. And in July of 2010, I was shipped off to basic training to be a chaplain's assistant. If you asked me when I was 17 and graduated high school what God's plan for my life was, the Army was nowhere in it. I had no, other than just the cool factor of the Army, you know, as a kid, like, oh, that's so cool, no desire. But God had a plan for my life that I couldn't even see. And God wanted to do something in me through the Army, and he had a mission for me that only he knew about. And today, I want to encourage all of us that we can have confidence in the mission that God has called us to, because he's called each and every one of us to a mission. You may not know what that mission is. You may not have any idea. But God has called you to a mission. And that confidence doesn't come from ourselves, but it comes from God. At first, I believe that we can have confidence in the role that God has for us. If we look in our text this morning, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if we look at the first verse, the Bible says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, because we were shown mercy, we do not give up." See, this verse says, because we have this ministry. Paul was writing saying, yes, I have a ministry. The people that serve with me have a ministry. But he says, we have this ministry. Now, he was speaking from a place of trying to defend himself and his credentials against those that were doubting him. But not only for me, Pastor Vince, other people that are in ministry, but this verse speaks true to all of us because we all have a ministry. We all have a role to play in the kingdom of God. And it's not based on anything that I do. It's not based on my actions. It's not based on how well I'm a youth pastor or how well I do X, Y, and Z. It's not based on any of that. But in the first verse, we see, since we have this ministry, because we were shown mercy. See, because God has shown you mercy, because God has not given you the punishment of your sin that you deserve, he has showed mercy to you by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross. We all, as believers in Christ, have a ministry. We have a role to play in his kingdom. And that could be as a Sunday school teacher, it could be as a greeter on Sunday mornings. It could be as someone that takes up the tithes and offerings, helps count the money. It could be as a deacon. Who knows the role that you have except for God? But you have one. You have a role to play. And we all have a role to play. For me, when I joined the military, as a chaplain assistant, what I expected was to work with a chaplain. So a chaplain has to have a master's of divinity, which, by the grace of God, hopefully I will graduate in December with mine. But I was expecting to work with a chaplain, help him do all of his duties, his ministry with the soldiers, help soldiers get all of the needs that they have met, maybe counsel some soldiers. But I never expected God to do what he did with me. I was sent to South Korea at the end of 2010, all alone, first time on an airplane. It was a 14-hour trip. So I don't recommend that. Work yourself up to it. But by myself, didn't know anybody. And as a 20-year-old, just turned 21, I was alone. Didn't have any friends, didn't have any family around. But God placed me in charge of a chapel. I was 21. I was just a private first class, so I was an E3 in the Army. But he put me in charge of a chapel, which meant I was responsible for handling all the money, counting all the money, depositing it, make sure all the money got to where it needed to buy the supplies. And I thought, okay, this is all I'm going to do. And it got me in church every Sunday. I loved it. But my chaplain was also the pastor of this church. He said, you know what? I remember you said something about you playing guitar. I said, yeah, you know, I played guitar a little bit. He said, I want you to start leading worship for us. I was like, whoa, I don't do that. Okay. But I started playing and singing for this chapel service every Sunday. And I didn't know it at the time, but God was developing in me a gift that would go with me forever. I may not be the best singer, I may not be the best guitar player, but God used that Fast forward to 2013, I'm in Afghanistan, and I'm in charge of worship for probably 600, 700 soldiers that are in Afghanistan that are coming to different services, and I'm playing and singing and leading. And I couldn't have done that if God hadn't placed me in South Korea with a chaplain that was going to push me to use this gift of playing guitar in a way that I never would have before. And even now, I can see God using that, giving me opportunities to play for us on Sunday sometimes and playing for the youth and doing other things. But I never would have known that role, known that gift that I had, if God hadn't have placed me in South Korea. And for us, in the same way we've been placed here at Ebenezer Welcome Baptist Church, you've been placed here, you may be visiting this morning, but you're here for a reason. And whatever church you're a part of, you're there for a reason. And you're there to serve. And God has a role for you. So my question, my challenge for you is, do you know what that role is? Are you actively looking to serve? Are you actively looking to pursue that ministry that verse 1 says God has for each and every one of us? So not only do we know that we have a mission, and we can be certain in that role, but we know what that mission is. To an extent. If you continue reading with me in verse 2, it says, "Instead, we have renounced secret and shameful things, not acting deceitfully or distorting the word of God, but commending ourselves before God to everyone's conscience by an open display of the truth. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." See, our mission is to proclaim the image of God, Christ, who came as God in the flesh to die for the sins of the world. Our mission, our ministry, is to proclaim him in all things. Now, that's not to proclaim him in a way that's selfish. Verse 2 is very specific that they've renounced secret and shameful things. They're not trying to deceive anybody just to get inflated numbers. I'm proud to serve in a church that we don't, you know, just try to do things just to get people here. Yeah, we'll have fun. We'll have inflatables. We'll do things for the kids. But we always have a purpose behind what we're doing. We're not trying to deceive people. We're not trying to trick people into coming. And as Christians, our ministry is not just to get someone to say a prayer or to trick them into a decision. Our ministry is to share Christ with everyone. No matter what it is we do, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a school teacher, God wants you to proclaim his son Jesus and all of that. And one way to do that is not forgetting what our mission is. I'm reminded of a time when I was still in Korea. So still my first year as an Army. I'm still a PFC, a private first class. And one of my senior NCOs, non-commissioned officers, he was a sergeant first class, I believe. He said, "Corbin, I need you to go get the key to this truck." It was a big military truck. "So I need you to get the key. We need to move it." All right, now I couldn't drive this truck, but all I was going to go do is go down to the motor pool, which is where we kept all of our trucks, and get the key. So then I could run it back up, unlock it, so they could move it. So I walk all the way down. It's about a mile, not that far, to our motor pool. And I get down there, and there's a bunch of the guys that I was buddies with at that time, right? And they're horsing around. They teach us combatives in basic training, like hand-to-hand stuff. And they're just like, you know, wrestling, rolling on the ground right there because they had nothing to do. All the trucks were good. And so when I get down there, the first thing I do is not, "Hey, I need this key." It's, "Oh, let me horse around with them." So, of course, the sergeant there said, "Hey, what are you here for, Corbin?" I said, "Oh, I need to get a key for this truck." And then I go straight past him, and I start wrestling around with these guys. And so 15, 20 minutes pass. I'm like, "All right, I got to get going." So I leave them. I start walking back up the hill to where the truck was. And I probably get, you know, 5 minutes up the hill, and I hear someone yell, "Hey, Corbin!" And I look, and it's the sergeant. He said, "I want you to bear crawl all the way back to me. So I was a good ways away, so I have to do this bear crawl thing all the way back. And so I bear crawl to him. I'm looking up at him. He makes me get in the front leaning rest, which is like you're about to do a push-up. He says, "You know why I hate horseplay?" And I was like, "I don't know, Sergeant. Why?" He says, "Because it makes us forget our mission." And he's dangling a key in front of my face, okay, as I'm in, doing push-up position. And I'm just like, "Oh, I forgot what I came here for." As Christians, sometimes we forget why we're here. We forget our mission. We forget that we have a ministry, that we have a purpose, that we have a role that God wants us to fulfill. And a lot of times, a lot of Christians are like me. They're in that push-up position, just looking up at God dangling that key in front of us. God wants us to embrace the role that he has for us. So not only do we know that we have a mission and what that mission is, but we can be sure that that mission, that ministry, is completely dependent on him. In verses 6 and 7, it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ." See, in our darkness, in our sin, God chose to use us to shine the light of Jesus to this dark world. So even in our weakness, even in our sin, God decided that it was going to be through me and through you how he was going to share the gospel, the good news to this world. So we can be sure that it's not on us, it's not on anything that we can do, but it's on him. It goes on to say in verses 7 through 12 that we have this treasure in clay jars, that we're like jars made from earth, that we're nothing special. And really, the human body is made of dirt, water. There's nothing special about it. But in those clay jars, in those jars of clay, that there is a hidden treasure, and that treasure is the gospel. And we can have confidence, yes, in the role that God has called us for, but we can also have confidence in the hardship that we're going to face as Christians. See, God doesn't promise us an easy life. He goes on to say in verse 8, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed." We're going to face trials. You know, for me, being in the military has brought a lot of hardship. I faced death. I've had to bury friends. I've lost friends to suicide. I was there when soldiers died in Afghanistan. And through all of that, God molded me to make me not who I wanted to be, but who he needed me to be to share the gospel. And I've been reminded over and over again that even in the hard times that I have, and even in my sin, that God is using me to show his glory. See, when I joined the Army, I was 20. I never drank a drop of alcohol. Never. I was raised better than that. My parents kind of kept me from that, kept me in church. When I joined the Army, I was away from home, turned 21, went to South Korea. Had no friends, no family. I was seeking a group to belong with. So there was a group of guys, and really most military people, one thing that they love to do is they love to party and they love to drink. And so I got involved in drinking. Not too bad. It was just, you know, a little bit here. I would go out on the weekends. But that started to get worse and worse to where I actually had a problem with alcohol. One little drink here turned into me having a problem. And I came home in 2011 when my mom had a stroke. She had a stroke. They called me. I had planned to come home. So I came home that next week. And we went to the beach. Mama still wanted to go. We had it planned. She felt good enough. So my mom just had a stroke. We're at the beach. And I was out every night drinking. Every night. And the last night, drank so much that I didn't come home. It was 4 in the morning. I was out. I couldn't even tell you where I was because I was blacked out. But they eventually found me. And when I came home, my mom was kind of standing in the door, "Where you been?" I kind of pushed her aside. I pushed my mother out of the way because I was just so drunk. I remember that next morning, I woke up feeling so defeated, and conviction was all over me. And I just felt like, how can God use me? What have I become? Where did I lose? You know, and I was still, you know, in charge of the church, the chapel there, counting the monies, but I had stopped playing. Eventually, that sin kind of took me out of those things a little bit. And I just remember sitting there, actually laying there, I had a pounding headache. I'm like, God, how can you use me? How could I ever be a youth pastor? How could I ever do anything that you've called me to do when I have this problem? And right around the time I was thinking that, my dad knocked on the door, came in. He had a plate of grilled cheese, had it all cut up in little triangles, glass of water, and had a bottle of Tylenol sitting in the middle of this tray, right? So he had the grilled cheese around the Tylenol, came in there, he set it down, set the glass of water down. And he just looked at me and said, "Son, I love you, but I expect better from you." Then he took the Tylenol out, handed it to me, and then he walked out. I got up, showered, and the rest of that day, it was like nothing had ever happened. And through my dad, God showed me that it's not about me being perfect. And it's not about me not having any weaknesses or any flaws, because God chose to use us as jars of clay that are not perfect, because he wanted the gospel to be so precious, so extraordinary, that he would use people, unlikely people, sinners, to share it with the world. And God reminded me that even in my hardship, even in my sin, that the role that he has for me, the ministry he has for me, will never change. And even when I go through hard times, even when I mess up, God still has that ministry for me that he wants me to accomplish. And that's true for each and every one of us. I don't care how many times you've fallen. I don't care what sin you're struggling with. I don't care what you're dealing with in your life right now. I don't care if it's you're dealing with sickness, cancer, a loved one dying, if there's a secret sin, no matter what it is. If you're a child of God, God still has a mission for you, and he can overcome any and every one of those situations because he did for me. And he completely turned me around. I left Korea, went to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. From there, I was deployed. And God took away that alcoholism. And it was through different people that God put in my life. And at times, it's still a struggle. But even in that weakness, God uses me. And I can have confidence that no matter what I go through, that God still has a plan for me. So my challenge for you all this morning is, what are you doing when the ministry God has called you to? Are you letting something hold you back? Are you letting fear of a struggle you're going with, or fear of a sin that you sometimes struggle with, hold you back? Or instead, are you going to have confidence that God has a ministry for you? So this morning, as Pastor Vince, he's going to come forward, I just want you to take some time to pray and ask God, what area of ministry does he have you? What role does he have for you? And are you fulfilling that? And if you're not, maybe you need to commit today to serve him in some way. Or maybe you're letting a trial that you're going through or a sin overcome you and hold you back. Maybe you need to come to this altar this morning and give up that sin. Truly repent of that sin. Give it to the Lord so you can follow him. Or maybe you're letting a trial, you're letting hard times keep you from serving. Maybe you need to commit, say, "Hey, Jesus, I know that I'm to follow you in the good and the bad, and I want to serve you no matter what." This morning, the altar is going to be open. If you would just come as God leads you. If you would, please stand and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for, God, just for the knowledge that you have called all of us to a ministry. Father, I pray that this morning, if we are not actively involved in the mission that you have called us to, God, that we might commit to you this morning. God, some of us may be struggling with a sin. Some of us may be struggling with hard, difficult times. But God, I pray that you will let us this morning to turn those over to you. God, we love you and we thank you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.